Brothers and sisters in Christ, dear friends, it's an honor and a privilege to be with you today. It feels like coming home. When I was with you before, during your vacancy, I was experiencing many personal trials and tragedies. And the only place I could find real solace and comfort was here at Emmanuel, among you kind and caring people in the presence of God. Today I come with joy and gladness in my heart. God has provided me with peace and understanding. He has brought me out of the darkness and has brought me back into the light. He has also gifted me with a lovely and caring wife, someone who can be with me for the rest of my life. But let me go back to the subject of turbulent times in life. I would like to take you back to an earlier time in my life and maybe help you see that there is a light at the end of every tunnel. The text which engages us is the gospel that was just read, Matthew 14, but the first two lines are the important ones. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. This is the gospel. Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As you know, life is not always filled with joy and gladness. We live in a world that can be chaotic, to say the least. Every day our apple cart of life is always turned upside down. For instance, you get a call in the morning and your dear friend calls you and they found out that they have cancer. Or you find out that you have cancer. You may go to work each day to a job never knowing what awaits you as soon as you walk in the door. Or maybe you're retired and just sick and tired of being sick and tired. What's a person to do with all this turmoil? Where do we turn for answers? Well, my friends, it's time like these. We need some time alone. Time alone with God. Let me give you an example from my own life. 35 years ago, I know that's longer than some people here, but 35 years ago, I was called to a church in the wilds of North Dakota. It was the winter of 1991. It surely was one to be remembered. It was even colder and much snowier than we ever experienced here in Wisconsin, if you can imagine that. The cold North Dakota winds of winter were blowing, and the blinding snow would not quit. The wind chill was 30 degrees below zero. After a tough day of putting fires out for the church and working all night with some members who were having a family crisis, my head finally got a chance to hit the pillow around midnight. Suddenly, I was awakened by a screaming telephone wanting to be answered. I had no idea what time it was, but it was Joe's wife. Joe was one of the elders. He was being rushed by ambulance to one of the two hospitals in the area. One hospital was an hour away. The other one was 3 hours away on a normal day. Well, which one should I go to? Well, I called both hospitals. Both the ambulance was still en route and could not make contact among the fiercely blowing blizzard. Neither hospital knew where the ambulance was. I decided to chance it, go to the closer hospital. After all, it was only an hour away, but in the blizzard, it took me almost 2 hours to get there, and I finally made it. There I met Joe's family at the emergency room. They also figured the ambulance was going there. But the ambulance was not there. We were notified that they were headed towards the other hospital, 3 hours away. So we sat and we waited. We prayed that the ambulance would make it. safely to wherever it was going. And within the hour, we learned that the ambulance had turned around and was coming our way. The family and I spent the next few hours praying and waiting. And much later, in the wee hours of the morning, Joe was resting comfortably after emergency heart surgery. The next 24 hours would tell the tale. My work there was done. I was drained. Like Jesus, after a hard day, I needed to go to the mountain to pray. I needed not only to find physical rest, but also spiritual rest. I needed a mountaintop experience with God. But before leaving, as I was walking down the hospital hallway, I peeked to see that, wait a minute, 92-year-old Sue is a patient here also. Sue was still awake at this hour. She had played an active and faithful part in the life of our church. She was one of the original quilting queens. Well, we had spent many a Tuesday afternoon having Bible study at her house, and then afterwards, we would pitch in and help sort out the colored squares for the next quilting project. Unfortunately, the years were now catching up with her. Sue had heart, lung, and gallbladder problems. This one strong, vibrant woman was so weak she could not raise her head off the pillow. And I stopped for a little while. I visited and prayed with her. I left Sue. Then I happened to notice Sam. Sam was at a few doors down from Sue. Sam, age 87, had actively participated in the church and the community. Now he could hardly speak and could not use his left arm or leg. He was dying from cancer. In the past few days, it was the brain tumor that was causing the most problems. I visited for a while and left him in the arms of Jesus. It's a tragedy what sin and death does to one's energetic, active lives. You know, it's after these type of pastoral calls, I was spent. I was running on empty. I needed to talk to God. I needed some quiet time. I needed to go to the mountain to pray. Well, during the drive home in this cold, windy, snowy, wintry morning, I realized the sun would not be up for a few more hours. So when I got back into town, I headed for the mountain. In my case, the mountain of God was a little mission church at the edge of town. Now, it's not like the safe and comfortable sanctuary that you're used to here. In my case, the church was located in a lumberyard. You see, it was here in the midst of the display, storm windows and doors and the nail bins. We had set up a little fledgling mission church where we were holding services. Well, I went in and the streetlight was streaming in through the dirty glass window as I entered. The smoke from the potbelly stove was leaking out of the crooked pipes as it wound its way up through the roof. But the church was quiet and warm. I lit the altar candles and gazed upon that crooked wooden cross that the members had made from a birch tree when they first held services a year ago. I sat in one of the donated pews, and it was here in this quiet place, on this mountain, where God was waiting for me with open arms. The building groaned as one of the shutters banged as the fierce winds blew, but this was the place where I could rest in the hands of God. He was there listening to my prayers. He was there hearing my petitions. He was there bringing me comfort and strength among the nail bins and the shelves of building supplies. Like Jesus going up to the mountain to pray, all I needed was to have a chance to share my concerns at the throne of God's grace. And God was there, and he listened. He listened, and what was his reply? What did I hear from that still, small voice? It was all about Jesus, his life, death, and resurrection. It was about the cross And here once more I found the peace that passes all human understanding. Go to God yourself, and you will hear it too. Because it's all about Jesus. His life for you. His death for you. His resurrection for you. Jesus in you. You see, everybody looks around for the secret of life. This, my friends, is the secret to life. With that, you can face anything that life throws at you. Jesus, your teacher and savior, often went to the mountain to pray. 8 days before going up to the mountain to pray with Peter, James, and John, Jesus told his disciples this: the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected, and he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Jesus knew what lay ahead. He knew that he had to die for the sins of the world, your sins and my sins. He needed time on the mountain to be with his heavenly Father. He needed the quiet so that I could hear that still small voice of God. And Jesus heard the comforting words from God. Even Jesus needed a quiet place and little time by himself. And you know something? We all need. We need a quiet place from time to time. Be still and hear the reassuring voice of God. These days, you just go right out these doors. These days, there seem to be no escape from phones or noise in our nation. There are so many talking heads on TV telling you this to believe, telling you that to believe. Ugh, it's amazing. In our world today, it might be nice to experience what Jesus experienced on that mountaintop. To be disconnected, to be off the net. He went away to a mountain to pray in silence, in solitude. You know, today, a lot of people are afraid of that quietness. They're afraid they're going to find something that they don't want, but that God is there. God is there for you. Like Jesus on my little mountaintop in a small mission church in the wilds of North Dakota, I discovered again that the voice of God is a gentle voice. And you can't hear it when in the competition with all the worldly voices. On that little mountaintop experience, I was reminded of the mercy and glory that only Jesus through the Holy Spirit could give. God also encourages you to spend some time alone with him. Why? Because God cares for you. You see, your life flows along like a river each day, right? The flow is smooth and peaceful sometimes, right? And sometimes there's rocks and white water rapids, and sometimes there are even waterfalls. These are the trials in life which strain your faith and test your patience. And when you have used up your last bit of strength to go on, how can you get through these trials? In the quiet of the mountaintop. Right here on this mountaintop. Emmanuel Lutheran Church. This is the place. You should try it during the week. It's a really quiet place when nobody's here but you. And you sit right here in the pew and you contemplate on the cross. It is quite an experience. During the time of COVID, I came here and did that. And that's what got me through, let me tell you. Because of what Jesus experienced on another mountaintop, on Mount Calvary, where Jesus shed his blood on that final mountaintop experience, God's mercy and grace now gives you forgiveness through Christ and the strength that you need when the going gets tough. God is here with you and sends his Holy Spirit to lead you through the rapids of life to the smooth flow of water on the other side. Your baptism guarantees it. That's why you are God's child. He will lead you once more to the quiet mountaintop. On that cold, wintry morning, over 30 years ago back in North Dakota with the winds howling and the temperature still dropping, I sat in that pew for over an hour praying. And when my time of praying on the mountaintop was over, the sun was starting to come over the horizon. The great storm of 91 was over. I stood to leave the lumberyard church. There had been no radiant vision of Christ's glory for me. I did not see Moses and Elijah like on the Mount of Transfiguration. I did not hear the booming voice of God. Yet, like St. Peter on Mount Transfiguration, I also said, "Master, it is good for me to be here." Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.